Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Exodus 32, 1-6 and 15-20. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1-6 and 15-20. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an old idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in reverie. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burnt it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. My theme for reflection is, when we melt the gold, lent, and the idols we carry. When we melt the gold, lent, and the idols we carry. At the beginning of Lent, many of us tidy our lives the way we tidy a cluttered room when guests are coming over, quickly moving things around, hoping no one notices what is still hiding in the corners. We promise less distraction, more prayer, and fewer indulgences. Yet the story of the golden calf reminds us that the real struggle of faith is not simply breaking bad habits, but facing the deeper question, what do we turn to when God feels distant? In Exodus 32, Israel stands at the foot of Sinai between promise and impatience. Moses is delayed, silence stretches on, and fear grows. The problem is not merely disobedience, it is anxiety. The people want something visible, manageable, and immediate, a God they can shape with their own hands. Aaron's failure of leadership reveals how easily even faithful communities can confuse spiritual longing with control. The calf is not only rebellion, it is a substitute for trust. This narrative speaks powerfully to Lent. When God seems quiet, we are tempted to create our own golden calves. Some turn to endless productivity, others to curated spirituality that promises peace through crystals, energy alignments, or personal manifestation techniques. These practices often arise from a genuine hunger for transcendence, yet they risk placing the self at the center rather than the living God. Kwame Bediako's insight: in Christ, faith is not an escape from life, but but a transformation of life from within, helps us read the story of the golden calf with fresh clarity. In Exodus 32, the Israelites did not abandon religion. They reshaped it into something safer, faster, and more controllable. Faced with uncertainty and the silence of waiting for Moses, they chose a visible object that could relieve their anxiety without demanding inner change. The calf became a spirituality of avoidance, a way to feel secure without surrendering the heart. True faith, as Bidiako suggests, does not remove us from the struggles of life, but transforms how we live through them. The golden calf represents the opposite movement, a faith that seeks comfort without conversion, ritual without repentance, presence without obedience. Instead of allowing God to reshape their fears from within, the people projected their need for certainty onto an idol made by human hands. In Christ, however, faith calls us inward before it moves outward. Transformation begins not by replacing God with something easier, but by allowing God to reshape our desires, our fears, and loyalties at their deepest level. Where the golden calf offered instant reassurance, Christ offers patient transformation. Where the idol promised control, the gospel invites surrender. Thus, the wilderness story becomes a mirror for our own spiritual lives. Whenever we construct forms of faith that avoid inner change, we repeat the impulse of the calf. But whenever we allow God to work within us, slowly, deeply, and faithfully, we embody the transformative faith that Bidiako describes. The Old Testament itself interprets this moment. Psalm 115 warns that idols are lifeless creation, and those who make them become like them. Lent exposes the truth that whatever we worship shapes us. Israel drinks the ground-down calf, a vivid reminder that idols ultimately degrade rather than save. Moses' breaking of the tablets is not uncontrolled rage, but a prophetic sign. The covenant is fractured and sin has consequences. Yet, even here, grace flickers. Moses intercedes, reminding us that God's story with humanity is not abandoned at the first failure. Imagine a modern believer who fills their Lent with self-help routines, journaling apps, curated affirmations, spiritual podcasts, yet finds themselves more anxious than peaceful. Another person begins simply, daily confession, scripture, and honest prayer. The difference lies not in effort but in direction. One attempts to shape a spiritual experience, the other allows God to shape their heart. Lent is less about building a golden calf of religious performance and more about returning to the one who cannot be controlled. For us today, the golden calf warns that even good intentions can drift into idolatry when fear replaces trust. We may not melt earrings into statues, but we forge identities around success, approval, or even religious image. The invitation of Lent is not shame but transformation, to rend our hearts, to let God reshape what we cling to most tightly. We are reminded that we do not need to manufacture God's presence. We already bear God's image. The journey of Lent calls us to rediscover that truth. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what golden calves might you be shaping this Lent? Habits or beliefs that promise control instead of trust? Number two, when God feels distant, how do you usually respond? With patience or with substitutes? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one small attachment, perhaps constant phone checking, a social media habit, or a self-improvement ritual and set it aside for a few hours. Use that space for silent prayer, asking God to reveal where your trust truly lies. Merciful God, in our impatience, we often craft idols for fear and longing. During this Lenten season, teach us to return to you with honest hearts. Break what needs breaking, heal what has been wounded, and free us from the things that cannot save. Shape us into people who trust your presence even in silence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.